Hello and welcome to our new normal stream of seminars this afternoon. We are joining together now to look at the fivefold leadership gifts as our last seminar of the afternoon. If you're not familiar with the fivefold leadership gifts, you might want to grab yourself a Bible and look up Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11, where they are listed, because that might just help you have some context as we begin. Before we get to the seminar, I'm just going to share with you a few practical things. So first of all, we are recording this session, but you won't be featured as a watcher in the recording. And even if you leave things in the chat or questions in the Q&A, those won't be part of the recording. We will try and get to as many questions as we can. We may not get to all of them, but we will try to address your questions and we'd love to hear from you. So please do be putting your comments and thoughts into the chat. But if you do want a question answered, then please do put it into the Q&A section. You can also share on social media. So if you are sharing, you can use the hashtag, #MultiplyX2021, or #CCX. My name is Hannah Patton. I am your host. And with me today are Steve Uppel, who is the leader of All Nations, and Nick Harding, who currently leads Together for the Harvest in the Mersey region, and also the Kairos Connection nationally. But first, we're going to hear from the Reverend Betty King, who heads up the Betty King International Ministries and is Senior Pastor of Truth Vine Church. So, Betty, over to you.
Hello, and thank you so much for having me here today. Just really such an amazing time that we are in as the body of Christ. During this period, I think a year plus, many of us have to go back to the drawing board. I'm not assuming that people were not doing great, but I think more than ever in this season, we want to move back into the supernatural. We want to see a true move of God, a continuous move of God. We want to see the body of Christ working well together with all the gifts, not one part of the gift. And so the topic that you've given me to bring is from Ephesians chapter 4, verses 11. Now, I want to start reading from verses 9. Now, does he ascended? What does it mean? But that he also first descended into the lower parts of the earth. He who descended is also the one who ascended far above all the heavens, that he might fill all things. And he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints for the work of ministry, for edifying of the body of Christ, so we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Amen. Well, before I just delve into this, I want to pray, just really ask the Holy Spirit to, minister to all of us. We live in a culture where there's so much misunderstanding, misrepresentation. We have different expressions because we come from different backgrounds. We, on this call, we've got different nationalities here, but we all represent the body of Christ. And I think one of the things we have suffered most is that we've not delved deeper into the knowledge of Christ as to how we can really function effectively, apart from the gifts, the callings, but culturally as well. So when we see somebody expressing Christ in a different manner based on their process, we begin to judge. And because of that, the unity that Christ expects from us, we've not been able to form that, although we recognize each other's gifting. We recognize someone being a pastor, we recognize someone being an apostle, prophet, evangelist, but we struggled, and that has to be said. We struggled as a body of Christ to understand each other. We've not celebrated the differences. Rather, we have moved towards conforming everyone to a particular culture, how we can, if you like, please everyone, or the one that we think should rule us or should lead us. So I just really want to pray. Precious Holy Spirit, I just thank you so much that this afternoon, you will use whatever bit in me that pleases you to really explain Ephesians 4, chapter 11. And I thank you so much that you will give clarity and understanding to those listening today. And Lord, through this also, we will learn to love one another, to understand one another, to honor one another in the body of Christ, so that, Lord, you, your name alone, will be glorified in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Hello, Steve and Nick, right? It's good to have you guys on board this afternoon, moving the ship, navigating it. And I'm sure when you guys get in, you'll explain better. Now, the gifts, the offices to some apostles. You know, the work of the apostle, I believe it's very key and important in this time, because the apostle also can be the prophet, the apostle can be the pastor, the apostle can be the evangelist, the apostle can move in all these gifts. And I think a lot of times, from some of the experience that I've had going to different churches to preach, you find somebody that has moved out, you know, have a particular gift or calling. Let me give you an example. The person might be part of an organization, and the organization they're part of could not recognize the one's gifts. So he might be a prophet, he might be an evangelist. And because they didn't know how to bring everything together, this person now has branched out and started their own ministry. There's nothing wrong with that, especially if God is calling them and they've not left any messy things behind them. But one person is functioning in a role they don't even understand. You know, he does not understand how to move in that calling. And by doing that, they're trying to control every aspect of the church without recognizing that if they've been able to branch out, then in and through them, God can use their experiences, clearly what they carry, to raise other people to function in the different gifts. So in them, God then can use that man being the apostolic figure to raise up the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, you know. But you find that one person operating out of that, not healed, or operating from woundedness, then begin to control the whole environment, or begin to control everything, because the person operating in that apostolic gift is actually operating out of wounds. So I think the first thing in this season, the time that we are in, is to really begin to really pray that the Lord heal the apostles in this nation. The first thing that we can do is really pray for the headship of the church, the understanding that people that have been called into that role will be healed. Because if we put someone in place of the apostolic ministry and they're not really healed up, we find there's a whole lot of dysfunction, because they're not in agreement. The person is not in agreement with themselves, especially as to what gift they're operating under. So anyone that comes around them, they can't understand, interpret, equip them effectively, and that's where the conflict lies. But the role of the apostle is to equip the church. You know, the role of the apostle is to really equip the pastors, to really teach the pastors as to what to do. Is to be the nurturer, to bring the nurturing aspect of the church. The evangelist, obviously, is the one who grows the church. He's the one person that he goes out there, he saves the souls. The evangelists go out there also. The gift that God has given to the evangelist is a gift of healing, you know. But the other side, I believe in this time that in this season, what the Holy Spirit is doing through the evangelists in this season is to stop them from over-exaggerating. You know, before I get into really what I want to, into over-exaggerating, because here's what's happening. Many of, again, we're dealing with the woundedness before we bring the function. If they don't know what God has called them to do, they compare themselves with others. They will begin to compare themselves. So they don't equip the church. So they will go into different places and over-exaggerate the miraculous, over-exaggerate the opposition. And by doing that, the people that they are meant to learn from or leading them to the Lord come to Christ with, if you like, a dysfunctional idea of love. So here's what some evangelists, not really well equipped, may promise someone: come to Jesus Christ and all your problems will be over. Okay, so when that promise is given and the person comes to church, they have this slot machine idea of Jesus Christ, you know, let me become a Christian and everything will be okay. So the first thing I believe the Lord is doing definitely in this season is bringing healing, understanding, integrity into all these gifts. Then let's also deal with the prophets. The prophetic ministry, I do believe, is one of the key ministries in this time. Of course, it's been abused. Of course, there's a lot of exorcist things that has gone on that we all know that needs to be addressed. But once the prophetic headship in the church is fully restored, the prophetic act as a signpost for the church, as a signpost. So the prophetic minister then will be able to see what the Lord is saying and be able to warn the apostle and the prophets as to what is ahead. He foretells what is about to happen. He also warns, he brings direction. And I feel that what the need for the prophetic ministry in this season is important. But again, the church needs to trust. We need to trust the voices. Because when, the way things have gone, if somebody begins to speak because of the exorcism that has gone on, the moment they begin to speak, nobody believes it. Nobody believes. It's interesting, isn't it? A lot of people will believe what the devil say more than what God says. And the reason why they'll believe the devil, because the devil somehow has got a way to prove what he's saying by causing all sorts of chaos. But the word of God is more powerful than what the devil is saying. But because of the confusion in the body of Christ, people now are asking for confirmation. And then you go into the office of the pastor. The role of the pastor is obviously equipped. And then release, nurture. A lot of people, obviously with the seeker-friendly churches, nobody even rebukes or confront. And so we've got all this dysfunction going on because without their confidence and the yieldedness to the Holy Spirit, they are building to please instead of leading people to God. So how can all these people function effectively? We need each other. This is five fingers, all right? I cannot pick up this iPad with one finger. I cannot. All these five fingers need to come together to be able to pick something up. And I think the first thing, obviously, I've addressed about the woundedness aspect of it, is learning to trust one another. Learning to trust one another. And also, the role of the pastor is ensuring that we move away from the familiarity of the ministry. So let me give you an example. I'm a pastor. I pastor a church. Every time that I invite a guest minister or a guest prophet to come to our church to minister, I would have taken the church through a preparation in terms of what aspect of the church that we need instructions from the Lord. All right. So the church would have gone through a month of prayer, a month of preparation, a month of repentance, and then obviously begin to inject into the church what I feel that we need to put right. If there's a division or rebellion in the church, we need to address it. Once we prepare ourselves, we invite the prophet to come in. When the prophet comes in, he brings the word of the Lord. But once the foundational work is done, the people in the church, the enemy cannot use their mindset to think that, oh, the pastor said something to the prophet. They had a meeting in the green room. So he's only going to come and say, to tell us what he couldn't tell us. I think we need to learn to honor the gifts, that if we prepare, then we come in agreement fully in the spirit for the gift to operate effectively. Okay, then the pastor himself needs to be confident because the word of the Lord is a double-edged sword. So the prophet coming is not just for the congregation, it's also for the pastor to be whole and to be well, to lead the people well. But if the pastor is not able to receive what the prophet is bringing, the moment the prophet leaves, there's no continuity. So what does he do? In order to preserve his position, he then deconstructs the construction that the Holy Spirit has placed in the church for the church to be healed up. And so that's what's gone on in the past. So the pastor has got no problem standing in his pulpit because he feels insecure, threatened, because he's been challenged to deconstruct the very word of the Lord that will unite the church. Okay, so I think that we need to really learn to prepare well. The prophet is coming. We know that we need to put things right. What is the structure the Holy Spirit wants us to put in place, the foundational work, so that when the prophet comes in, we can come in complete agreement. Once the word comes, then we have the evangelist. Okay, they're running to do something. They're raring to go. They want to do something, but from where they are. Every evangelist probably wants to save a million people tomorrow. They can see it, but not a lot of people can see it. And you have a different mode and method. Now, the word of the Lord that has come might be bruising. It's healing, because what does the word of the Lord do? It uproots and it plants. So while God is doing that process, the security needs to be there in the pastor, in the apostle, that the evangelist, God, we can trust God through the evangelist. The evangelist will know how to fix the gaps through what the Lord will ask, require him to do. Because often they bring a message of hope. They bring a message of reconciliation. They are trying to do the Jesus element to bring the people into the church. Okay, so then finally, we come to, how many minutes do I have? Because I keep seeing this 5 minutes, 3 minutes, and I can't see that. Then finally, you have the apostle. The apostle then comes in to fix up the mess. To fix up the mess, because he can really read and see through all these functions, you know. And so he comes in to say, okay, this can be put right. This could be taken down. But the important thing, I believe, in this season is learning to trust. Learning to trust the person of the Holy Spirit. We cannot build, because it's Jesus Christ that gave these gifts and this function in the body of Christ. And we cannot do it outside him. We cannot. The church needs to go back in again, listening to the person of the Holy Spirit. By doing that, we will be able to see, we'll have the clarity as to how we can bring all these functions together for church growth and church building. Now, here's the thing, though. Because we've not done this well, I'm not saying that everybody has not done this well. In certain places, when you say to the church people that a prophet is coming, the place is packed out, right? When you say to the church that evangelist is coming, well, I'm already saved. When you say to the church that the apostle is coming, people might come, because the apostle moving all these functions. It's up to us now, the leaders, to teach well the functions of all these people and how it can benefit everyone for church growth as well as personal growth. So now the time that the body, the church is in, if we don't learn to recognize the need for all these gifts and learn to heal up from the old season and learn to bring all these gifts together, we'll find ourselves recycling. Recently, I was on a call, an international call, and they have got this idea to win 1 billion people to the Lord in the year 2020. We have got this thing that we're doing in Munich Stadium. Some people have hired Munich Stadium, and we're using the stadium for a day of prayer, of healing for the Germans, the Jew, and the different nationalities coming together in October next year. But here's the thing. On this call, preparing and talking about all of this, I just went for quite for a moment. You could see what the strife between the different people groups. And so then I stepped in and I helped. I said, listen to me. This country, the country that you're striving with in terms of bringing them together, why don't we see their redemptive gift? Is it a prophetic nation? Is it an evangelistic nation? Because if even we begin to learn, ask the Holy Spirit from the background or the redemptive gift in those nations, we will learn to be able to work together, even with the different cultures. I'm a woman. My approach to things might be different from another woman from a different culture. But that's not mean what I'm bringing is not of God. But if there's prejudices in our mind as to the expression or the delivery, straight away, you say, I'm not going to receive this. And I think that's where we start also healing now in this time, so that we will be able to understand the redemptive gifts in the nations that many people are coming from. God will build his church. The Bible says so. I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. But the only way we can build is understanding the person of the Holy Spirit and the functions in the body of Christ and how well we can bring all these gifts together to operate with knowledge, with understanding, trusting, honesty, integrity, transparency. We can only do this if we move in that realm.
Wonderful. Thank you so much. I love the emphasis on trust that you brought out there, that as we work together, that we're called to trust one another and to face those difficult things that sometimes we very often avoid, and we can fall into being people pleasers instead of seeking the Lord. I'm going to bring Nick in now. So Nick, would you kindly share with us your thoughts and experience using the fivefold gifts?
Yeah, I'd love to do that. Thanks very much, Helen. Hi, everybody. Great to be with you today. My experience, by the way, Betty, loved everything you shared there. Loved the passion, loved the colour, loved the vibrant and dynamic description of both the functions and the dysfunctions of the fivefold. Really, really helpful. I'm going to take a slightly different perspective and start back a couple more verses in Ephesians 4, verse 7, where it actually says that to each one of us, grace was given. That's every single person in the body of Christ, which is then expanded in verse 11. He gave some as apostles, some as prophets, etc. So my experience is from using a couple of different tests. I've just put them into the chat just there. One's free, one's not, that people can discover their own particular intelligence, motivation, hardwiring, gifting, however you want to describe it, within that fivefold spectrum. Because it's as everybody, I think, discovers how God has wired them, they can make their best contribution. Some will operate at a high level of leadership and function on platforms and, you know, be nationally known. Others will just be very ordinary church members who are just making their best contribution to the life of their small group, the mission of the church, ministries they're involved in, etc. And I think as we discover these wirings, these giftings, these intelligences, there's a number of things that come out of that. One is that we can all play our own part at a local level in the best way we can. So I'm going to use some examples from the experience that's closest to me. My own missional community of about 25 people, a mid-sized community, there's a whole bunch of people with all trying to figure out how we make our best contribution to the mission God has called us to, which is to reach our neighborhood. And each one of us, having done these tests, of figuring out, well, you know, I'm strong in the apostolic, someone else is strong in the evangelistic, someone else in the shepherding, someone else in the teaching. And each one, as they pull their perspectives and their personal resources, creates a much better team. Now, I have a problem with my own leadership within Kairos Connection, which is being very apostolic. I can be quite driven, and, you know, I can lose sight of people's personal needs. So that the lovely woman, Jenny Taylor, who works alongside me in leading Kairos Connection, she's got a much better pastoral wiring than I have. So she'll say to me, oh, Nick, don't do that. Don't do that. You know, people will hate that. They'll not cope with that. You know, think about them pastorally. Oh, gosh, I've got to think about them that way. And it's the same at a local level. You know, someone else from a prophetic perspective will say, actually, I think if we do this, we're going to miss something really important. There's a justice issue here, or there's a sin or a righteousness issue here. And so I'm drawn back to thinking about how we see things from other people's perspectives. Also vital from the leadership team point of view, the church I'm based in, Frontline Church, John Harding, the leader here, has built a leadership team using fivefold giftings. And although it's difficult because each one has their own perspective and their own priorities, their own sense of, you know, what's important, it's in the bringing of those together and in the trust, particularly the trust, Helen, that you talked about, those things can be outworked and the benefits gained from each of those different perspectives. And of course, the power of all of this is that we build healthy churches and release really powerful planting teams, particularly where we've got apostles, prophets, and evangelists, what we call the apes, heading up those teams. We can break new ground, take new territory, and plant new churches. And my time is up.
Nick, thank you so much. Steve, I'm going to hand over to you now. Thank you.
Hey, thank you so much, Hannah. Thank you, Reverend Betty and Nick. Appreciate hearing what you've both shared. And just coming off the back of what you've shared, Nick, I would agree with you that to each one of us, grace has been given. So I think all of us see in part, know in part. So I'm being enriched by your parts, and it's helping me to see more clearly. And I think for a while I've understood that the fivefold gift, those graces, are on each of the body of Christ. So some are bent more towards evangelism, others are far more entrepreneurial and builders, and they can pioneer something. some are far more missional in what they do and so on, and some are more caring and shepherding. But I also think there is a space for the designated gifts as individuals who are apostles and prophets. So there's a grace that works in the whole body. And then there are individuals that God has placed an anointing or a grace on to be an apostle or a prophet or a pastor, evangelist, teacher, and so on. I'm just going to say, because of the time, probably emphasize three things from my perspective, really coming from Ephesians 11 to 14, chapter 4, 11 to 14. Christ himself gave the apostles and prophets, verse 12, to equip the people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ, no longer infants, tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching. Basically, God gives his gifts, and the gifts are there to help bring the body of Christ to maturity. I would agree with Reverend Betty, there's been a lot of dysfunction, I guess, not just in those gifts, but in the church in general, in leadership in general. Somebody pointed out to me back in March this year, I was talking to a friend of mine in Australia, and he was saying to me, he said, do you realize that in the 40s and 50s, we saw the evangelist emerging? In the 60s, we saw the pastoral gift emerging. In the 70s, there was a strong emphasis on Bible teachers. There's many of them coming. People like Derek Prince and others that were on the fore. In the 80s, we started to see conversations around the apostles and prophets, but mostly prophets emerging. We had the Kansas City prophets and a whole move of the prophetic. And then in the 90s, something around apostles. And he said, this is a great comment that struck me. He said, people thought now that that's done, we're all good. But actually, he said, it was just the emergence of them. We saw them, but they were still living in isolation to each other. And the truth of what really, where those gifts become powerful is when they come together. So learning to work together, learning to be one, learning to defer and to prefer one another is going to be critical for our next season. This might sound controversial, but I think we're going to need the apostolic grace, the apostle who will be graced to bring those fivefold together. And one of the jobs of the apostle will be to lift up the fivefold. If we say Ephesians 2, 19, 20, 21, that apostles and prophets are the foundation with Jesus Christ as the chief cornerstone. Well, if I have an understanding that we're foundations, we're not the roof, but over the last 30, 40 years, many of the fivefold have tried to be a roof instead of being a foundation. And I believe that the Lord is calling us to be a foundation. We lift up others and help them to become who the Lord has called us, called them to be. So bringing them to maturity so that they're no longer tossed backwards and forwards. I'll finish with three statements having said that. One, I think one of the greatest hallmarks of an apostle is gentleness, but it's often, if you're going to birth true community, if you're going to really see the fivefold working together, apostles need to rediscover the gentleness. Mark 11, 29, Jesus was the chief apostle. His only one descriptor of himself in the entire Gospels is, I am gentle and humble in heart. Moses is like an Old Testament type of apostle with all the work that he did and leading the people out. And in Numbers 12, 3, he was called the meekest man to walk the earth. The apostle Paul referred to himself in 1 Thessalonians 2, 7, we are gentle among you just as a nursing mother cherishes her own children. So I believe the hallmark in Jesus, in Moses, in the apostle Paul, in those apostles that Paul is referring to was gentleness that helps birth true community. So the gentle, they are fathers. I believe that they come to father, and that fathering aspect releases true Christian community. It's probably one of the greatest things we need in our day, true Christian joining, koinonia, and the apostolic grace carries that, and they have the ability to bring it. It's less about power shows and domination, and I'm at the top of a tree. It's far more. One of the phrases we use is apostles are first in authority, but they are least in privilege. We're not demanding anything. We're not coming asking for something, but we recognize God-given authority to be able to build and to lay foundations, to be able to resolve issues, and to be able to help know what the blueprints are. And then I would agree with Reverend Betty that the next season, we've got to see apostles, prophets, fivefold working together. At the moment, as far as I'm aware, they're still working in silos. And because I think I was 17 years old, had no understanding of any of this, but the Lord spoke to me when he said, there's coming a day you will see the fivefold working together. So to bring true maturity to the body of Christ, the release of the apostolic, where we need the help of the prophets to release the apostles. As the apostles and prophets work together, lift up the fivefold, they can help birth true Christian community, which becomes a reproducing, church planting, disciple making movements across the earth. And I think we are going to see, and it's beginning to happen, apostolic tribes rising across the earth with a mission or a mandate from the Lord. You know, apostles are sent ones, they're delegates, and those apostolic families will have mandates from the Lord to be able to fulfill on the earth. That's 3 minutes, I think, or just over. So bless you, Hannah.
Well, this is so helpful. I think for me personally, I'm an apostle, and it took quite a lot of moving into that and coming to terms with myself, particularly, you know, as a woman, thinking about the models that I'd seen, which were mostly men. But there is a sense that it's really helpful to be able to use this language and come to terms with ourselves and what our own giftings are within the fivefold. And then also looking at from a church leader's perspective, how to release these things and support them, particularly when you've got evangelists who sometimes can say prophets who sometimes can say what you don't want to hear. So there are lots of challenges, both as people in the congregation sitting on the pews and wanting to learn what their calling is and their gifting is, but also for leaders. So I wonder in the last few minutes whether we can speak a little bit into the challenges of growing in this way as congregations and churches.
Can I jump in there, Hannah?
Yeah, go for it, Nick.
Thanks. Yeah, I think there are many challenges as I've watched and experienced trying to build good fivefold teams, whether it's in planting a new church or leading a small community, whatever it might be. But the downside of not doing that, I think, is too great. I think if everything is led by one gift, like the apostle, it tends to be driven. If it's led by a prophet, it can become too intense. Yeah. If it's led by an evangelist, it can become too shallow. A shepherd, it can become too comfortable. A teacher can become too rigid. And I think that the challenge is to bring all those together in a way that allows each one to function freely. And if you know anything about Patrick Lencioni's Five Dysfunctions of a Team, he talks a lot about the importance of trust, which Betty mentioned earlier on. And, you know, you've got to have trust as the foundation for everything. You've got to have the ability for healthy conflict in the team, you know, good conflict, not bad conflict. That leads to the ability to commitment to decisions and direction the way forward, which creates an atmosphere of accountability and an ability to get results. And I think but it all comes down to that trust and love, which is at the heart of everything, and a respect for one another, and ability to listen out for what are they really trying to say, or how can I get into what exactly the way they are seeing the world, yeah, so I can benefit from it. And I think it does take the humility that Steve talked about. Yes, and the trust that Betty talked about to make that happen.
Yeah, I completely agree with that, Nick. I feel that it doesn't matter whether a prophet, a pastor, or teacher, an evangelist is leading a movement. In the body of Christ, all these gifts are in the church. You know, we really need to learn to respect. If a prophet is leading a church, there's someone there who is pastoral. Often the person could be misunderstood simply because of their approach. If the prophet wants to rebuke someone or somebody's been in sin, and everyone in the church knows that the person needs to be dealt with harshly, there'll be somebody in the church that's whose approach will be gentleness. That Steve brought, the kindness aspect of it. But because the prophet sees differently from the one operating pastorally, the conflict will come between the two of them. Why don't you just let us rebuke them? And the other one said, let me hug them. We have got this whole gift in one body of Christ. You know, God will bring the different bodies in when it's needed. The hierarchy, I call it, the one who will come in to bring the direction. But in the church right now, we need to see that the conflict is within. All the gifts are in the body. There's the evangelist in the church where he's ready to just, the person is ready to run out. But we can equip each other by learning, as you said, Nick, to listen to one another. you know, to really understand what the person is trying to communicate. And by doing so, we will then build from within the house. Then the Lord will send the people to come in to equip. We go to the seminar. People are watching the seminar today. They're learning something from this. They will take it to their local church. But the gifts is within the body of Christ. As Steve said, there are silos, you know, and everything will have to come together because it's a vault God has created. But right now, in every church, in every community, I believe the fivefold gifts are operating. It's just we don't have the language to interpret, and there's too many misunderstandings, misrepresentation. But it boils down to love, trust, and understanding. And I believe then unity, you know, because if we can build in-house, the unity in-house, we will learn to work with everyone. We start in the house first, yeah.
Yeah, that's great. Thank you. Steve, what would you add to?
Yeah, I would agree that I think one of the challenges over the years, and both Nick and Reverend Betty have said this, that any one of those five gifts are pretty powerful in their own right. That's they can right. build their own ministry. They can bring in their own income. They can set up their own databases. They can have their own traveling programs. The challenge with that is we take on a very worldly perspective in terms of the world builds business and they have incomes and they raise platform and profile. We're in a kingdom that's an opposite spirit.
Right.
And understanding our kingdom brings us to another way of operating. But there's too much of the world in the church at the moment and in leadership. So often there's been too much ego to get those kind of people to work together. Because the even if it's not said, the heart is, why do I need you? Now, they'll have them come visit now and again, come to my conference and preach for me. But the truth of really joining heart, of working together, of listening to one another, means that I've got to see myself as I know in part, I see in part, and I need the rest of the body of Christ, and realizing where God's connecting us. And I think Nick hit this as well. We really do need teams. I think the future, I think it should always have been this way. The future is going to be far more team led than it is going to be just one personality that's dominant.
Yeah.
I think it provides a healthy environment. It provides accountability. It gives us a broader perspective, as Nick was saying, on any given situation or the future, and the ability to hear the Lord together on what the Lord is asking us to do. So if we can lay aside our egos, embrace humility, trust, and really learn to listen to one another, we could achieve more for the kingdom than any one of us can achieve by ourselves.
So good.
So as a final thought, what would be your advice for people? I think particularly just coming up in some of the comments in the chat, people who are sitting in congregations and feel as though they're not being encouraged in these ways to kind of own their gifting. What would be your advice for people who want to step into this a bit more? Steve, let's start with you because we're with you.
Yeah, I think it's a big subject, and this is one of my answers to a lot of big subjects and complex. Our time right now is complex. Disciple making, church planting, restructuring, new wineskin, new wine, the fivefold. There's so much to try and sort through in my head. It can almost bamboozle people. And so I found myself saying to people, fix your eyes on Jesus. He's the chief apostle. He's leading individuals. He's leading his church. Staying close to him will keep us safe. He gives us energy. He gives us perspective. He'll give us direction. And so we stay close to him. We stay planted in a community and we give to the Lord, what do I do next and where do I fit? If I try and write all of these things down and try and fit, see where I fit, I'll end up in trouble. If I keep my eyes on the shepherd and fix my gaze on him and live in close proximity, he will order the path ahead of me.
Love that. Fantastic. Nick, how about you? What would be your advice?
Three things. Number one is good modeling. We need to model what these gifts look like. We need to identify good role models in a local church or ministry level and say, look, if you want to be a good evangelist or a good shepherd or a good teacher, look at this person. Let them be someone you can imitate. Secondly is good coaching. And I think actually one of the things we've tried to do is to create coaching groups for the different ministry gifts so that we can raise up more shepherds, raise up more evangelists by those who are more mature and more gifted in those areas. And the third thing is the encouragement of the whole body, that everybody has something to bring and everybody has one or more, usually more elements or intelligences within the fivefold. And doing some sort of test can be a help. It doesn't always give us, you know, perfect answers, but it can be a starting point for encouraging every single person to begin to ask the Lord, how have you hardwired me, Lord, so that I can make my best contribution, and encouraging that across the whole body.
Brilliant. And Reverend Betty, final word from you. Thank you.
The question was, somebody sitting in the congregation, how can they, their gifts, consistency, loyalty. You will be called into leadership when they can see consistency. Nobody will be given a position when you're not consistent, when you're not loyal, when you don't have integrity. When Jesus chose his disciples, he walked with them, he taught them, and he appointed them the same model. And the model that we learn from is Jesus Christ. So a lot of people want position, but they don't have the character or the integrity and also the consistency to maintain even the little things they're being given. So I think it's the same. Jesus stayed with them for 3 years. One of them betrayed him. It's the same model, the Jesus model.
I love that. What a powerful note to finish on. Thank you so much, Reverend Betty, Nick and Steve. We are out of time, but we've had such a wonderful and helpful conversation. And do check out any of the resources in the chat if you are interested to learn more about your own giftings for the work of the church and for the glory of Jesus. Have a great afternoon, and we'll look forward to seeing you at some point soon. Bye-bye.
God bless. Bye-bye.